want to mention that ABC News is reporting that the FBI was currently investigating, and this is confirmed also today by James Comey, the director of the FBI, that this Mateen fellow, who is the shooter in Orlando, mm-hmm. was actually under active investigation by the FBI
currently?
Over the last year. Current investigation.
Gosh.
And they were not able to, and there's a question about why he didn't pop in a background check when he bought the guns legally with a background check in Florida in the last week. Why did that not pop? And the FBI, their answer is that there was nothing that linked him specifically to a terrorist group, and nothing that was a concrete evidence that he was forming a plot, because he was doing this all in his own head, they believe. And they said that they also have under investigation, they have currently 800 domestic ISIS investigations open.
Oh my gosh.
Think about that for a second. 800.
So people who are here with alleged ties to ISIS. Here, but they're talking in America.
That they're investigating, yeah.
That they're investigating.
So they have to prioritize. How crazy is that?
That's crazy.
More on that coming up. We'll ask Congressman Kinzinger is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour about all of that and figure it out. All right. Speaking of politics, did you see this story today? Donald Trump is revoking the press credentials for the Washington Post for his campaign. Kicking them off the bus, if you will.
Yeah, he's not happy with their reporting on him.
Based on the incredibly inaccurate coverage, okay, and reporting of the record-setting Trump campaign, okay.
So he did write this one.
We are hereby revoking the press credentials of the phony and dishonest Washington Post, okay?
Okay.
Fred Brown is a... Fred Brown is, and thank God he's here, former editor of the Denver Post, teaches communication ethics at the University of Denver, an excellent school for that, and is a media training expert. And this is, by the way, he's a member of the Society of Professional Journalists Ethics Committee that overlooks basically the blue book for all of our business.
Mm-hmm. Ethics in the business, journalism and broadcasting.
Now, Fred is going to have to explain to us if, and I guess this is the interesting moment, Washington Post, I mean, that when it comes to political coverage in America, right, it doesn't get a whole lot bigger than the Washington Post.
No. I mean, that's the most prestigious, probably powerful newspaper, with the exception possibly of the New York Times.
Correct.
And the Wall Street Journal. They're all right up there as the most powerful, most prestigious covers of politics in the country. I should say one thing. I was not the editor of the Denver Post. I was political editor.
All right.
So
thank you.
Committed to accuracy. We like that.
Exactly. He is committed to accuracy.
It's very important for this story.
Unlike some other people that we're talking about or that are talking, like myself included, when somebody says, you were once king of the world, I never correct them on that.
Sure, why would you?
But, anyway.
Well, not if you were Donald Trump, you wouldn't.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. All right, so he's kicking the Washington Post off. Now, you know, we've had situations like this where people have been censured in the White House press corps, and other or feel like they've been sort of X'd out because of their coverage at the White House. And just imagine this. If he's doing this as a campaign, imagine what he would do if he got in the White House. But the White House press corps specifically, those credentials are not let by the White House. Those credentials are let by an independent organization. Right.
A committee of journalists and people who review the qualifications of White House reporters. So it's not that anybody can just walk into the White House press conference, sit down and ask questions.
Right. So should, as has been happened, though, that organization gets up and it complains, it barks at the White House, whomever the occupant is or whoever the press secretary is, and says, "Hey, whoa, why are you mistreating this person, or what's going on there?"
Yeah.
And raises us think about it. Should other organizations, and this I guess is the question, Fred, that we have to think about here, should other organizations, whether it's the New York Times or Chicago Tribune or Gannett Service or AP or any of the television networks, should they stand in solidarity with the Washington Post and say, well, if you're not going to let them in, we're not going to cover you either?
Well, that's a possibility. I don't know how much momentum that would get, because there's always something interesting to cover with Donald Trump, it seems. But, yeah, they're certainly free to do that, and maybe some of them will.
Do you think that fits within the canon of ethics of journalism?
Well, journalists' first obligation is to report the news accurately and thoroughly. And you can't really do that if you're not on the scene. So I would say that refusing to cover a candidate because he is not letting a particular outlet cover him is not particularly a good idea.
Did you see Trump's...
I mean, it's good for solidarity in the profession, but in terms of getting news to the public, and that's really a journalist's first obligation, is to give accurate news to the public.
Speaking of accurate news, did you see, Fred, Trump's actual problem with the Post, the most recent one?
I'm sure
there are many. He said that he wrote that, "I am no fan of President Obama, but to show you how dishonest the phony Washington Post is," he quoted their headline, which said, "Donald Trump suggests President Obama was involved with Orlando shooting." And he said there's nothing he said that would have prompted that headline, and the Post actually has changed that headline to "Donald Trump seems to connect Obama to the shooting." Do you find anything wrong with
the... I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was something like either he doesn't get it or he gets it too well.
Right. That's exactly what he said to Fox News this morning. That was the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the quote.
Yeah.
And he's the thing is, what he's doing there is he's leaving open to interpretation. I mean, we would refer to that now as a dog whistle, right? He's leaving it to, depending on who his listener is of that quote, that the viewer of that quote is going to take, they're going to fill in the blank spots of that.
Yeah.
Right. And then think, oh, well, that must mean he's a Muslim, or, oh, that must mean he's sympathetic, or, oh, that must mean he's too liberal, or, oh, that must mean whatever it is. And he's keeping it out there, but he's tying the administration, and if there were some way to actually tie the administration to a lack of aggressiveness against terrorist organizations, that'd be one thing. There does seem to be a ton of evidence that the Obama administration has been very aggressive at trying to tackle, certainly, terrorism overseas. They've killed more Al-Qaeda and ISIS members than any other administration previously, right? ISIS is a new, since... obviously a post-Obama organization, but I mean, that's including bin Laden. So I wouldn't exactly say that's on an international level, even close to accurate, but on a domestic level.
Well, you can argue that, I mean, both sides. I mean, certainly there are people who say, well, he's still not doing enough to combat terrorism.
Well, there's always, right. You can always make that argument.
Yeah.
But I guess the question now is this, right? What do we do with Donald Trump, who says if he doesn't like the way that a news organization is covering him, and he just tosses them over the side and says, no, you're not allowed to be credentialed into my organization anymore. And the Washington Post did blink on this, because basically what Trump was doing was, trying to say, hey, it's Obama's got something to do with this. I mean, that is the way that he operates. Is there anything that the industry should adjust to here, do you think? I know it's a broad question, but
I suppose some individual reporters could, in protest, say, look, if you're not going to let the Washington Post ride on the plane or ride on the bus, we're not going to do it either. Is that a good idea? It is probably a good idea for showing that they do think that all previously credentialed reporters should be given access, and that access is the best way to get close to a candidate and get news you're not going to get if you're standing outside the rope line. But Is it going to happen? I don't know. I don't think it's going to change anything that Donald Trump has done, or I don't think it's going to have a big effect on his supporters. If anything, the idea of banning the Washington Post probably goes over pretty well with most of the people who are supporting Trump.
Yeah, that's probably true.
The Washington Post has been pretty clear about, though, how they're going to dig into Donald Trump's background and dig deeply. I want to get your thoughts about them devoting a 20-reporter team headed by Bob Woodward, no less, to just go into Donald Trump, but they haven't set up a similar team that I'm aware of for Hillary Clinton. And does that start becoming advocacy journalism? Is that in and of itself ethical to do?
Well, I think there's a bit of imbalance there. Is there stuff to be investigated about Hillary Clinton? I'm pretty sure there is. I mean, the whole email controversy, although it was a subject of an 11-hour hearing in Congress, that pretty much would, you would think, get everything out on the table.
But I think reporters should still ask questions, don't you? I mean, Congress is one forum, reporters is another, or news conferences.
Right. And certainly there's a lot more to be learned within a careful record search than there is simply by questioning someone before a committee. I was not really aware that the Washington Post was devoting that much manpower to getting the goods on Donald Trump. And as I say, that does strike me as a bit overkill.
Well, there's an interesting issue here, too, because Donald Trump sort of baits it.
He's an unusual candidate.
Yeah.
He puts a lot of facts out about his incredible successes and his incredible track record and how popular he is and how low his golf scores are and how big his hands are, all the rest of that stuff. And it challenges the press to, it kind of goes to that hunt instinct that exists in packs of journalists, and they want to be the ones to get it. The New York Times has been very, very specific about going after his real estate dealings, and they're uniquely qualified to do it. I mean, they have the records, and they have the quotes, and they have the experience with him for decades.
Yeah, and they just did a big story about his casinos thing.
Yeah, so Taj Mahal, and I read that over the weekend. They did this thing about how he structured the deals to. Basically, according to the New York Times reporting, when he was closing down his casinos in New Jersey, how he was able to profit from it, and his partners, contractors, and banks were getting screwed. And it is interesting, but I don't see him claiming that that's not accurate, and he hasn't seemed to kill the New York Times yet, and I think their reporting has been far more negative on him than has been the Washington Post. And I wonder if he's not doing that because he, in the unlikely scenario of a water landing or a Trump loss here, that he doesn't want to lose the New York Times because he still needs to do business in New York.
Well, that could very well be his motivation. I have no way of reading.
I'm just guessing. I don't want to. You're a journalistic ethicist, and there's no way I want to drag you into saying something that, I mean, you're one of the few pure priests left in our business.
We're happy you're here.
So I don't want to, it's like, I'm doing all, let me do the speculating, sir. You sit there and just go, you're an idiot, and I'm okay with it. All right. Fred, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Fred.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Thanks, Fred Brown, from former political editor at the Denver Post and now an ethicist, and it's on the ethics committee for the Society of Professional Journalists, which is about the only thing that is like a watchdog for our industry.
Mm-hmm.
I use that term.
And we need
hour,
him at times like this.
Yeah. All right. Yes, we do. This is a confusing time.